readable on the site. They just compress them. And if you pull them up on the PDF, you find pages after pages after pages of very compressed, redacted script indicating the thousands and thousands of complaints. They have so much, they have so many complaints that you can't just pull them up in a readable form. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm having so much fun, I'm not going to be able to get to comments about the emergency state. Per Fogring is ready to come through the door, so stay tuned for that. And stay tuned to your community radio station, KBOO Portland. You've been listening on 90.7 FM in Cascadia and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
This organization has the power to change people's lives and the direction of their lives. And it's not just about making sure you have food on your table. It's making you feel good about who you are.
To learn how the synergy of hardworking gleaners combined with the support and assistance from Lynn Benton Food Share changes lives, come on over to Local Folks Podcast. You can find Local Folks at kboo.fm. Go to audio, list of programs, podcast, web only.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Counter Rally for Reproductive Justice on Saturday, January 19th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. On the 46th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, this rally is in support and solidarity with all people who have considered, are considering, or have received abortions. It is a protest of the Rally to the Oregon Right to Life March and will celebrate our victories in imagining a future where every person has access to the reproductive health care they want and deserve. Again, that's the Counter Rally for Reproductive Justice on Saturday, January 19th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square on the southwest corner at Morrison and Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Well, good morning. This is Per Fogring, and the show is Fight the Empire. And we have a guest scheduled, Max Blumenthal, who is an author and journalist, the author of some of his books, Republican Gomorrah, Goliath, and the 51-Day War. And he has an article in Consortium News, which itself is a great source of information. Consortium News. It was started by reporter Robert Perry, the late Robert Perry, and is continuing to really bring a lot of good articles. So Max Blumenthal and Mark Ames they co-wrote this article on a covert British military smear machine moving into U.S., and it is called the Integrity Initiative. So, very noble-sounding name, Integrity Initiative, but it's a thing that's funded by the British government and military, and it specializes. It's kind of like a secret network of spies and journalists and think tanks and just kind of people who influence public opinion. And this has been going on in UK now for a while. It came to light when one of its organizations, the Institute for Statecraft, was hacked by Anonymous Europe. And that's when this information came out. And so Integrity Initiative is apparently it is coming to the United States. It already has come to the United States, and it's they had an event up in Seattle recently. And so what they do is they smear they pick out their targets. One of their main theme, or one of their themes, seems to be a tougher stance on Russia. When they put in for funding from the British government, that was sort of that's what they promised, that this would be their sort of their reason for being. Well, I can think of reasons to disagree with what's going on in Russia now. Certainly not a perfect democracy, far from it, but I don't see that anything has changed in Russia by moving troops up to their border. But that's just my opinion. But anyway, so this Institute for Statecraft and the Integrity Initiative, that's what they sort of specialize, and they have some of the targets has been, some people I didn't know too much about, a Spanish politician named Pedro Banos. But one of their main targets was the new British Labour Party leader, Jeremy Corbyn. And he has been accused of anti-Semitism and being sort of one of Putin's puppets. So this is very concerning to me. You know, there seems to be this... I don't know. I've been around a while. I tell you, I think I can smell a propaganda campaign, a propaganda blitz when I see it. And I can say that the propaganda campaign against Russia has been so all pervasive, so huge. It's just there's really something. There's got to be something big behind it, and I'm not sure what. I think we're having a problem getting hold of our guest. I guess we're not getting through to him. So I'll tell you what. People want to call in the show and put in your 2 cents. The number's 503-231-8187. Anyway, the Jeremy Corbyn has been through a lot. And the way things are going in England now, with the defeat of the Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit program, now she did survive a motion of no confidence. But I think her government is sort of on very shaky foundations, and it's possible that if there's an election, the Labour Party may come into power, and Jeremy Corbyn may be the next English Prime Minister. Anyway, Corbyn has been accused of a whole lot of things, by, among other things, the Integrity Initiative, also by. And he's been accused of anti-Semitism, and that campaign, part of it certainly was directed by a person in the Israeli embassy. We have a caller on the line. Jack. So Jack is on the line. Good morning, Jack.
Hi, Per. Thanks for revisiting this topic. It's all over. I mean, it's everywhere. The Russia gate, the Russia's, how horrible the Russians are and what they're planning to do to us all. And more and more about their social media campaign to influence the election, et cetera, et cetera. I have to resist replying to people about that. That if they really think that that an amateurish social media campaign is actually more effective than the old mighty Wurlitzer.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Think again.
Mm-hmm, the mighty Wurlitzer, yes.
Yeah, and now we've got the mighty Wurlitzer digitized and going full board. I found an article recently from 2011. I believe it was in The Guardian. About a program that the Pentagon was working on to develop algorithms to mimic identities online to create false identities to do social media disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who thinks that program was put on the shelf and not implemented, think again. That's, I mean, I'm just so tired of the, in all of these stories that you hear in all of the media, never once is it intimated or suggested that U.S. intelligence or global intelligence nexus isn't doing this stuff all over the world all the time. And, you know, anybody who's thought about this at all, you come to that conclusion pretty darn quick.
Well, you know, it's possible that some of these things on social media, that they do originate in Russia, but it's also possible that they originate with our own CIA kind of spoofing Russian. So it's really hard to tell. You know, you have to kind of keep be a little skeptical of anything you read.
Yes, that's right. And there, and if I don't know if you missed it or not, there was the article about, I think it was New Knowledge is the company that was contracted to do a disinformation campaign against Roy Moore in Alabama to do, and they were calling it an experiment. Actually, it cost $100,000 to run it. There's an article about it. I think it's in the New York Times even. They called it an experiment to create exactly this, false identities, to make it look like Russian bots were making a campaign on the behalf of Roy Moore, even going so far as to leave some Cyrillic characters hanging around in the suspect communications. Anyway, I'm glad you brought it up again, and it deserves a lot of attention.
Well, that's one thing we keep our eye on.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Well, back to... Oh, Dale is on the line. Okay, good morning, Dale.
Good morning. You know, one of the things that is sad to say that this propaganda is being put out on your own station. Abe and Joe just relentlessly report this Russia nonsense week after week after week, and it really gets tiresome.
Well, that's their opinion. I'd love to have a good long discussion with them about it. Maybe we should have a forum or something. But
well, the problem is that he's never bothered to do any investigation into where this stuff comes from or the magnitude of it or anything. And you know, all of these things that he's putting forward have been debunked thousands of times over by intelligent people.
Well, one thing that gets me is that, you know, it's like, okay, people now, they see who we have in the White House. And incidentally, Trump was put in the White House by our own system, sad to say. And
yeah. He was promoted by Hillary Clinton.
Well, you know, the guy is, I think he's crazy, and he's just, everything they say are bad about him. But the thing is that people are looking back fondly on George W. Bush, which makes me think, you know, Trump and everybody have really dragged down American standards when we can think of George Bush as a normal American president. Well, maybe he is normal, but he shouldn't be, you know. It's that's really terrible. And people are so spooked by Donald Trump that they're willing to kind of get in bed with the CIA, you know. Okay, they call Trump a fascist. Well, okay, if you want to label him that, that's fine with me, you know. But the thing is that the CIA has installed fascists in power all around the world, overthrown governments, started wars, you know, done all sorts of horrible stuff. And people, because they're so spooked by this weird guy in the White House, that they're willing to kind of think that they'll be rescued by the CIA, and that I cannot believe that.
Yeah, no, I can't either. I think everything that anybody says bad about Trump is probably true.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should be looking more at what he's actually doing than trying to come up with some nonsense about Russia or something else. You know, I mean, Trump's not the only person there. You know, all these policies that are considered bad need to be fought against.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting about Trump. He seems to want war with Iran. He wants to make peace with Russia. He was at one time he was talking about war with North Korea, but then he made peace. I don't know. I mean, he's all over the place. But some of the regular Washington insiders, they are really fixated on, I think, on a war with Russia. And I'm really wondering why they are so obsessed. It's just there's something going on, and I am not quite sure what it is, but something pretty sinister is going on in Washington.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, to some extent, how much of these policies are actually the business of the president. I mean, you look at what Obama said he was going to do and what he actually did, and they're two different things.
Did a lot of bombing.
Yeah, a lot of bombing.
Mm-hmm. Seems like no matter who is in power, you know, we're bombing somewhere in the world, many places in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I heard the other day that Trump has increased the drone strikes and the bombing, you know, over what Obama was doing. Well, that ought to be the news item.
Mm-hmm.
Not some bogus story about he talked to a Russian or something.
Well, it looks like we don't have Max Blumenthal on the line. That's too bad. I was really looking forward to talking with him. I really like to encourage people to read his article in Consortium News. It's co-written by Max Blumenthal and Mark Ames, and they go into pretty much detail about this integrity initiative, and it's kind of the smear campaign. And one interesting thing, which actually has a local angle, the initiative, they had an event, I believe it was last December in Seattle, and it was organized by a group called Adventium Labs, which got about $5 million from the Pentagon. There's some kind of a tech organization. But they had this event in Seattle, and it began with a speech by this guy, Simon Bracey Lane. He was a person who was involved with the initiative back in England. And he was, a few years back, he was actually part of the Bernie Sanders campaign. He was called the Brit for Bernie. And some people have raised doubts, well, maybe he was actually spying on the Bernie campaign. But we don't know that for sure. This is just somebody's suspicion. But anyway, it began the speech by Simon Bracey Lane, and he talked about hybrid warfare going on right in our homes. Well, you wonder what they are doing. I mean, they are taking part in this hybrid warfare also. And one of the speakers was Alexander Reed Ross, who is here. He's a professor or lecturer at Portland State, and he's the author of a book called Against the Fascist Creep. And he, at least according to Max Blumenthal's article, that Reed Ross went after Max Blumenthal, also Katrina VandenHeuvel, who is the editor or publisher of The Nation magazine, and Professor Stephen Walt. But Alexander Reed Ross's, one of his things he talks about a lot is what is sort of a, what they call a red-brown alliance, where people on the left, the Reds, are sort of in de facto alliance with the Browns, who are people on the right, in fact, the fascists. And why they do this is, I really don't know. But to me, it's it's nothing I would do. I would not want to get in any alliance with fascists. But Alexander Reed Ross thinks this is a danger. Be interested to talk to him about this sometime. But by appearing at this event organized by the Integrity Initiative, if a red-brown alliance is bad, what do you call an alliance with British undercover intelligence and U.S. intelligence? Is that, well, I suppose it might be marginally better than allying with Nazis, but seeing as how the intelligence community in England and here have been instrumental all around the world in installing fascist governments, this sort of a distinction seems to be not very good. We have a caller on the line. Sean is on the line. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Per. Wow, lots to talk about. So to follow up a couple calls, but, you know, first of all, it's around talking about this because, well, what you just mentioned about this guy trying to make a connection between the red and the brown, that's really no different than the right trying to make the connection that anybody on the left is a commie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different form of how they put it, the terminology. But it falls into line with this whole thing of the propaganda, which was my main point for calling, is that, you know, this whole thing with Russia, to me, and what you're talking about with the Integrity Initiative and so forth, and the red and the brown, is no different to me. All of this is nothing but distraction, just like for the decades of the whole issue of the Cold War, was to distract people with propaganda away from the very issues and things that the U.S. was doing alone around the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
and the conflict that I see of how much the left is being taken by all this distraction. And I will just say, yes, the other day, Joe and Abe's show, I was shocked to hear Joe came right out in the beginning of the show and said it might be possible that Trump is a Russian spy. And he also brought up, without saying her name but insinuating, but it was terrible to hear, that he basically insinuated that we shouldn't focus on trying to create a third party here because then it shortchanges us, that it's better to stick with the two-party system, but mm-hmm. let's be glad we've got democratic socialists. But he brought up, without him mentioning her name, how Jill Stein, the Green, even sat down with Putin in Russia.
Well, my understanding is that she was invited. It was this kind of a big meeting in Russia, and she was at a table, and Putin came over to their table and sat down with this group of eight people for about a couple minutes, and then he went off to the next table. So it's...
But immediately they made this connection that maybe something more... What I'm saying mm-hmm. is that I just was shocked to hear him insinuate that he said this, that possibly, who knows, that maybe she's even a spy. I mean, that just shocked me to hear that, mm-hmm. and it also states how much the left is even falling for this, when the fact is, these two countries and countries, criminals alike, that's not to say that there is not some collusion going on, but these countries and these governments have colluded together for a long time in different situations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The U.S. did with Stalin during World War II and so forth and so on. The Koch brothers' father, that's how he got his start, was funding and helping Russia with 100 oil refineries that got their petroleum industry to get to where it is today.
Mm.
Which is another part of this whole thing, is that there is so much focus on Trump. And what's not really talked about is who is behind implementing the policy, having created Trump, and funding all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the very two introductions and chapters into both books of Dark Money by Jane Meyer and Nancy McLean's book, Democracy in Chain, talks directly to this, that these are the people who have instigated this. If you look at their history, that's where it starts. Even Trump's narrative about coming in, he's not part of the mainstream, we're going to go against this crony capitalism and Russian everything, that is the same narrative that the Koch brothers and their family used early on, even their father, in terms of turning his business into what he did and making his money.
Well, my big, you know, my big worry is that, you know, maybe they'll force Trump out of office. I could see that happening. And then people will breathe a big sigh of relief and they'll go along with some other crazy person who is more presentable. You know, they'll you know, we got rid of the big boogeyman, and now we'll go along with the, you know, with the intelligence community. So
right, and we hear, you know, it's like everybody keeps going on. Why has the Republican Party just sat down with Trump and gotten behind him? Because the point is that the Kochs have funded and bought off the Republican Party and are using them as a conduit to pass their policy, which is. You know, and it's like the discussion needs to go more around who is funding back, because that's who they are. They support fascism. Or the fascist authoritarian form of politics. They don't believe in the Constitution, and they don't believe in the rule of law, even though, ironically, that is the very thing that their father fought against to then do the very thing that they're doing now.
Hey, I think I got another caller on the line.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
So thanks for your call. Let me get one last call. Francis. Oh, okay. Good morning. Hello?
Hi, if it's me, it's Bruce.
Bruce. Oh, okay. I didn't catch. Okay,
that's
go.
That's fine. That's fine. Hey, Per, what do you think about the pivot to Venezuela?
Oh, boy, what's going on there? You know, it's not just Venezuela. You know, look what's happening in Brazil and Colombia, and I don't know. I mean, I think Venezuela, you know, they really, I hope they survive.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm not a, I can't say, but I mean, anybody that's got Bolton in his administration is, you know, I don't know why Putin allows his name to be sullied by associating with Trump.
that's a good point.
Hey, great show. I'll let you go. Great show.
I might just say, since our caller brought up Venezuela, you know, I think Venezuela made a big mistake back when Chavez was in power. You know, they had a lot of oil. They had a lot of oil money, and they were very generous selling oil at a discount to other poorer nations. But they were depending on the high price of oil to fund everything else that they did. And you know, I read somewhere that Venezuela imported about 70% of its food. And when you do that, you become very dependent on these imports. And then the price of oil took a dive, and all of a sudden their economy was in trouble. And then, of course, the U.S. started putting all these sanctions and other things going on. So I think one lesson is, if you're going to have a revolutionary socialist people's government, be as self-sufficient as possible. Don't depend on the global market to keep you going, because the global market can be manipulated by the big powers. The global market can turn against you, and I think Venezuela is an example of that happening. So anyway, that might be a lesson for the future. We might talk about that in the future sometime. But I think our show is coming to an end. I'm really sorry we didn't get to talk with Max Blumenthal. This article is very interesting about this integrity initiative. It came to light because their website or whatever was hacked by an anonymous group in Europe, and now they are coming to this. Well, they already have arrived in this country, putting on events, and they are pushing a line which I find really very pernicious, and it's taking root among a lot of people on the left. Is sort of falling for this line about Russia. Kind of action, you know. Trump may be a whole lot of bad things. He's crazy. He's a bully, but I don't see him. To be a traitor legally, that means he has to be working for an enemy in wartime, which I don't see. You know, Russia may be a rival. Russia may not be a perfect democracy. Lots of things going on in Russia I don't like, but nothing in Russia can be fixed by putting NATO troops on their borders. So that's sort of my takeaway for this show. Stay tuned for Flashpoints, which is always worth listening to, and then 11 Between the Covers with David Naiman, spending an hour with author Jeffrey Yang. So anyway, stay tuned to KBOO. It's your radio station.
The World Arts Foundation and KBOO would like to invite you to the 34th anniversary and tribute to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., entitled We've Come This Far, Keep Alive the Dreams. On Monday, January 21st, 2019, from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. at the Highland Christian Center, 7600 Northeast Gleason Street. There'll be a host of civic leaders, choirs, the Jefferson Dancers, and of course, our own Victory Village Marketplace. Again, keep alive the dream. Monday, January 21st from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. at the Highland Christian Center, 7600 Northeast Gleason, presented by the World Arts Foundation and broadcast live by KBOO Community Radio.
K-Book Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Counter Rally for Reproductive Justice on Saturday, January 19th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. On the 46th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, this rally is in support and solidarity with all people who have considered, are considering, or have received abortions. It is a protest of the Rally to the Oregon Right to Life March and will celebrate our victories in imagining a future where every person has access to the reproductive health care they want and deserve. Again, that's the Counter Rally for Reproductive Justice on Saturday, January 19th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square on the southwest corner at Morrison and Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboot.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.